Hey, I'm Courtney, and I'm going to tell you how I made a movie. The process wasn't glamorous, or flawless, or even well-funded. I mean, you know, we didn't have funding, so it was actually very poorly funded. But I've lived through 8 months of 2020, like the rest of you, and the ground beneath our feet is shifting. And as industries break down, even as we're trying to break into them, I think it's time and important to define for ourselves how we're going to get our big breaks. So I'm going to share with you a little bit about how I'm going about that process for myself. And as you will soon find, I can't help but to zoom out to the bigger picture and search for meaning in those small details. I don't want to just share with you how I made this movie with no money and no experience so you can do the same, although I really do hope that you will do the same. But I want to find out if and why it even matters we do things like this. Do we have a moral prerogative to break down a system and break out of the box, especially now when all systems are failing? I have a few hunches about that, but I know enough to know that I don't know everything. And as much as I'll share my answers on how to make this movie and what I think my moral prerogative is in breaking down the systems that I actually want to be a part of, I'll also be asking questions. Off the bat, look, I'm not famous. I don't have a large social media following. If you're listening to this first episode, the day that it releases, you're probably my mom and dad. Hi, mom and dad. Love you. Thanks for the childhood. So I guess why me? You or I might be asking. And the answer is there's no good reason. I do not have your answers of how to make your movie. I only have my answers of how I made my movie. And because I'm not at an unattainable, untouchable stage of my career, which, by the way, even if I did get to that stage, I'd hope I would never be unattainable or untouchable to folks, but you know what I mean. Because I'm at the beginning, I hope we can connect in a useful way. And let me also say, if you don't want to make a movie and you're listening to this, I still think there will be something here for you. First of all, movies are pretty cool. So talking about how they get made behind the scenes, I think is probably kind of interesting, especially when there's not a lot of money and you kind of have to be sneaky and slick about things. But second of all, even if you hate movies, I hope that you learn to love them. No, but I do hope that you can find parallels in your own life as you take whatever risks you want to take. You know, it was risky to write and direct a movie without first being a production assistant on set somewhere, which is typically like how you start out in the film industry. I did not do that. It was risky to ask professional and talented folks to come on board with me steering this ship when A, I didn't go to film school, and B, I was Googling things like types of camera angles, and I drew my own storyboards with my one-year-old's crayons. So, you know, I mean, maybe you're not going to make a movie, but maybe there's a risk that you're taking or you're thinking of taking in your life. And I just hope that you feel like there's space for you here too, because I think there is. So to let you know how ridiculous it was that I decided on January 1st of 2020 to direct a film when I had not written a script for a film, I didn't have any money to make a film or funding or investors, and I had no reason to believe that I could make a film, I kind of want to give you the backstory of how I got there to begin with. So I came to New York City to be an actor. And I was a working actor for about a decade or so, which means that when I wasn't performing, I was doing every other job you could imagine. I babysat, I catered, I waited tables, I did a lot of bartending, I sold makeup in a pyramid scheme, which was a really special moment for me. I taught fitness, I was a private trainer, I did marketing, I did blog writing. I did social media branding. I've done all of those things. And then another thing that might be useful in just like really getting the picture of how unqualified I am by industry standards to be a film director is I decided that I wanted to do this right after my baby turned one. So for all intents and purposes, like, should not have made this movie. But we did. So I had written a pilot a couple years before. I think maybe like 2017 or so. I wrote this pilot about the fitness industry, and it was not about my experience in the fitness industry, but it was like not about my experience in the fitness industry. And I really liked the characters and I liked the world that I was building, but like it just didn't hit, which is what I think the kids say, or like it didn't slap, you know, like it's supposed to slap. Anyway, it was not hitting and it was not slapping for me, but like there was something good in it. I just couldn't distill it. And I ended up taking one of the characters from the pilot. I hadn't really tweaked the pilot in a while, but I was performing this night of new works, and I wanted to dig into the characters a little more. So I wrote a monologue for one of the characters in this world that I had built within this pilot. Got some good feedback on it. Felt good in the room performing it. Felt like there were some lines that really made sense to me. But again, after that night of new work and doing this monologue that I had kind of brought out of the pilot, put it away. Like literally less than a month later, I was pregnant. So if you know anything about what it's like to feel pregnant in your first trimester, you can't do anything. You want to sleep and eat French fries, which is what I did. So essentially fast forward 9 months plus a year, and I've had my baby, we've had her first birthday party, I haven't really done anything creative beyond, you know, mothering, which is a creative feat for a different podcast, I think. I don't know, maybe it's the same podcast, but essentially, like, didn't pick up any of that work, the monologue or the pilot. So we kind of get through, you know, like when you have those moments in your life where like, oh my gosh, so my kid's first birthday, just a huge moment, you know, a huge sigh of relief of like, holy crap, we got through the first year. And, you know, like you get through that, and her birthday is in late December. So you get through that, you get through the holidays, and then you're like, okay, whew, all right, I'm here. What's next? And, you know, if you're like me, I'm always like, what's next? And, especially with my creative work. So my husband and I are sitting at the kitchen table on New Year's Day, and we're talking about, you know, just the year ahead. Little did we know what the year ahead was actually going to be like, but, you know, we were so young and naive then. And we were talking about what we wanted to get out of the year. And I was saying, you know, I have really been thinking about something, and I'm super anxious to talk to you about it. But I feel like I've been waiting and waiting and waiting for something to happen with my work. And I know that nothing is going to happen if I'm not lining things up for myself, if I'm not putting myself out there, if I'm not making things and challenging myself, like things might not kind of roll out the way I think that they should, but I know that if I put myself in motion, something might happen. And if I don't put myself in motion, nothing's going to happen. And he was like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. And like, that's not news. And so I said, well, I've been feeling really anxious about what I want to do, which is, I think that like, I'm really interested in TV and film. I really want to get involved in that. I don't know what the right path is, and something's telling me that I should just make a film. Like, even if it's a short film, make a film. And I'm really anxious about it because I feel scared that it's going to take me away from you and Elle, our daughter Elle. And in like great Craig fashion, he was like, oh, yeah. That's just resistance. So, like, that's just you making up stories in your head. So if you want to do it, just, like, do it. So that was it. Like, that was basically it. So all I needed was to hear that I wasn't going to completely fail as a mother and a partner if I did my thing, which, again, like, we could have a complete dissertation of internalized misogyny in my own head, but luckily I'm with a wonderful partner who will just be like, oh no, that's like your own mind. So literally from January 1st to like for a couple days, I don't know how long it took, I was like, all right, let me write something that's so simple that I could literally take the crappiest iPhone and shoot it myself. So basically I wanted to write something that would be so minimal effort on like the technical part that it would make it undoable. Do you know what I mean? Like, it would be so easy to make it happen, even if it was bad, right? So I came up with an idea for a mockumentary and B-roll situation because, again, like, I didn't have a camera or even a friend who I knew was a DP who would be available, and I wasn't like, oh, I could call, you know, Jenna and like she has my back, like none of that. I really was planning on being like, okay, so if worst came to worst, my husband who's a photographer can teach me like basics and I can just shoot it, and then, you know, I'll edit it and like it'll be what it is. Like, it doesn't have to be great. It doesn't need to be, you know, Academy Award winning, it just needs to be done. So after a few drafts of writing this kind of mockumentary that was based off of the monologue, that was based off of the pilot, I thought I had something, and I was starting to see it. Usually when I write things for film and TV, it's like I like see the whole thing, which I think is a pretty normal thing for screenwriters and directors, writer-directors. If I can't see it, then like I don't have it, you know, but I really had it in my mind. So I was like, all right, I think there's something here. So I texted one of my best friends, Allie, who's a character who will be showing up later. I'm going to interview her on a later episode. And I told her, you know, like, this is what I'm thinking. I want to do this as a short film. I want to do this about the fitness industry and about social media and this kind of convergence that's happening there. And, you know, I'm just going to like get a group of actors together because I know actors, and I'm just going to shoot it. And she was like, okay, great. So look, I'm going to costume design this and I'm going to help you produce it. And you need lights and you need sound and it needs to look good. And I was like, yes, ma'am. Sure. I don't know what that means, but like if you say that I need to have that, then okay. So essentially, Allie and I brainstormed everyone that we could reach out to in our networks, and I sent out an email on January 6th to basically anyone in our networks who I thought would either be interested in, you know, hopping onto this project or have a connection with someone who is interested in doing a project like this, which again, you know, like there was no money. There's no pitch deck. They're literally just a script and a text exchange between me and Allie being like, oh, okay, yeah. No, we're going to do this. And like, we're going to put a little bit of money into it and we're going to do it. So, okay. So the money. So I talk with Allie and we basically come up with a number of $1,500, which, oh man, if you know more than me about film, then you know how silly that number is. It's so small. But me in January 2020 was like, no, I can totally do it for $1,500. Like, just gonna pull that out of our savings. So I went to Craig and I said, look, it's gonna cost us. I like can't say it without, oh God, like so young and naive in January 2020. All right, so I say to Craig, like, it's going to be $1,500. Can we do it? And he's like, yeah, of course. Like, absolutely. you work hard, you know, some people spend that money on a vacation and you're like, just gonna make a short film. Like, I support you. I love you. Go do it. So cool. Now, I'll do another episode about the money breakdown and the financial breakdown, because it's actually quite interesting just how things evolve. I truly now need to stop laughing at myself, but it was not $1,500 to make it. It was more. Now, I'm saying it was significantly more, but it was not, it was still a micro budget film. And again, I'm not going to go into the weeds on that, because we'll talk about like what a micro budget film is and like what normal film scale, like the price is in a normal production process. Normal in quotes, of course. But anyway, at this point, $1,500. So we went out and we were like, okay, look, we're really serious about this. There's intention behind this. Like, we are asking people to get on board with, you know, for basically nothing. And we're just saying, look, you are worth more than what we can give, right? If this doesn't work for you, no hard feelings. Because I mean, as an actor, how many times did I take a low paying to no paying job? And you know, we could get into the perils of capitalism here, but I do want to keep this episode short and generally uplifting, so I'll avoid that. But we did, you know, like, I know what it's like to not work for a lot, and the only thing worse than not feeling like you are getting paid what you're worth, I think, is not feeling respected, even from the ask, right? When someone just assumes you're going to do something for free, like, come on, man, no. Like, we're in our 30s, or who cares? Like, even if you're 15 or 20 or whatever, it doesn't matter. Like, people's time is precious. So we were really serious and intent in sending out an email that was like, look, we know that this is not up to what you deserve, but this is what we're doing. This is the project. This is the vision that we have for it going forward. We knew that we wanted to do film festivals, which, again, I'll do another episode on that, because how that changed was kind of insane. And so we sent this email out saying, like, this is where we want to go with it. This is the plan. It's, you know, thought through. So we got so many great emails back, and not just like my friends being like, yeah, I'm in, but friends being like, look, I'm not in, but I think this person might know a person who might know a person. And it was all about asking. We just asked, hey, anyone out there? And then the most amazing thing happened, which was one of Allie's friends, McKinsey, who is a producer, and who Allie has said, she said about McKinsey, oh, she is slick, which is where that, why I used that word earlier, because it's just like, it's so, it's just so good. She's just so good at what she does. So McKinsey was on our email list. She got back to us a week after we sent it out, and she was like, look, you need to do this, 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 and this. Also, do you need a producer? And so we were like, yes, 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 yes. And that's just kind of how it started. Like, literally, I don't know, maybe it started in 2017, maybe it started on January 1st. I don't know. Like, that's kind of, I mean, this is how the creative process works, right? It's not a straight line. It's like, I've got this thing, and timing is everything. It wasn't going to happen in 2017 or 2018 or 2019. And for whatever reason, it happened in January and February of 2020. Thank God. So that's kind of the practical way that we, or the practical reason behind making this movie, which, by the way, it's called Screen Test. And it's called Screen Test because I worked in the fitness industry before the social media boom. And I mean, we thought we were in the social media boom, but like, we really had no idea. And this is back when, like, you know, Twitter was 3 years old, Instagram was 3 years old, 2 years old, maybe. Yeah, it was probably like 2 years old. Like, we were still using the Nashville filter on photos, and everything was square. And I don't think hashtags were a thing, like, at all. I don't think so. And it was just like, you know, everything was new. So when I was, so I kind of saw that transition in the fitness industry, this intersection between fitness and social media. And what does social media mean in any industry, but specifically fitness, where we're talking about inspiration and motivation and your physical being and your well-being and wellness. And there are so many things that come up when you're at that cross section. And one thing that I think really made me write this script, which was about five fitness instructors auditioning for a reality TV show that could change their lives, is this idea of performative training versus authentic training. And, you know, sub out training for literally any other industry or any other story. It's just, I came from a fitness background, so that was the story that I was telling. But this performative versus authentic nature of things, this identity building that we do with social media and what that means. And if we're building the identity from the outside in, does that change us? If we're, you know, filtering our lives in a certain way for that platform, does it change us? Or can we build from the inside out and actually share a really genuine, authentic connection on that platform? And to be honest, I have no idea. I don't know if you can actually have a real, truly authentic, grounded connection. Especially, you know, with my marketing background too, I have a lot of questions about social media and how it works as advertisements. And I don't even mean in actual like promotions and partnerships. I mean just like, you know, me on my page, what am I advertising? What am I promoting just by being there? So anyway, there are a lot of questions that I have in that, but really I think the story came from the fact that when I was training, I did a lot of training the trainers at the studio that I was at. So new trainers would come on board. We would hire a round of people, and I would be one of the people who would help train them into the method and also give them feedback on how they were doing in classes. And there was always this question of performative versus authentic training. And, you know, people who were kind of pretending to be like other trainers that they respected rather than just really tapping into their own voice and their own selves. So I ended up giving a lot of feedback like that at the same time that social media, like I remember one day someone coming in and just being, the energy was completely different because like there had been some kind of signal boost or there, you know, like, I don't know. Is that what the kids say? That signal boost slaps, you know, it had slapped. That signal boost was super slappy. And she, like, there was just a different energy and like no shade, like totally a cool person, beautiful person, wonderful person. But like there was just something different in the air. You could feel it changing as we were working there during that time, because social was becoming more important to your success as a trainer. It would determine how full your classes would be. So suddenly, you know, my feedback as a senior trainer wasn't really as important as, you know, how well your Instagram post did. And, you know, I'm being reductive. I'm not saying that that was my exact experience, but there were inklings of that beginning to happen. And so I think that that kind of moment in time kind of crystallized in my mind is something really fascinating and worth exploring. And that's why we called this screen test and not really something about fitness, because it is about identity and the filters that we use to present ourselves in whatever that is. And we all do it, you know? We might not use the Nashville filter, but we certainly do. I certainly do it. And I, you know, I wonder what that means, especially right now. And by the way, you probably heard that really loud noise of someone in Queens driving their car. And I apologize, but At least it was authentic. So I would love to hear from you. What's really cool about Anchor is they have a place for you to leave me a voice message. There's going to be a link to do that in the show notes of this episode. And also, if you go to anchor.fm/thebreakbreakdown, you will see the little button there where you can leave me an audio message and ask me any question you want. So it could be about any part of the filmmaking process that you're really interested in. It could be about the fitness industry. I'm happy to talk about that, or social, or I mean, honestly, anything. Being a mother in film, living in New York, like truly ask me anything, and or leave me a message and just tell me something that you know that I don't know that I should know. Because there's probably a lot of that. And if you leave me a message, it could end up in the show. So just want to let you know that. And, you know, they say this stuff at the end of every podcast, subscribe. And if you rate and review, that's really helpful. And you know, what I think is even more helpful is if you have a friend who you think might like this and might be into learning either about how we made Screen Test or just, you know, what it means to make a move that could give you your big break, then please share it with them. That'd be really cool. And one last thing that I want to tell you is we are going to have people from the film on the podcast interviews later on. So every time you and I meet, the format may be a little bit different, and I'm a Gemini, so I can't really help that. I like to do things all different kinds of ways. Hey, thanks for being here. I really appreciate it, and I will talk to you soon.